Today, I heard many good news. One good news was that you all went out to preach gospel this afternoon, right?
Amen.
And so someone, or not just one, a few, was worried that today, tonight, you are all falling to sleep. I said, no. You forget Romans chapter 1, verse 16, right? What does that verse say? Gospel is the power of God. So when you preach the gospel, you touch the power of God. So I believe tonight you will all be wide awake. Praise the Lord. But last night I only slept 3 hours, so maybe I will be the one. But if I can be awake, all of you can. So I don't know whether you realize or not. In this week's training, all the evening lessons actually were giving you the church history. You know, in Christianity seminaries, that is a 4 years course to learn the Christian history, Christianity history. But thank the Lord that we try to use 1 weekend evening time and to cover what they want to cover in 4 years. So you see that how much you are blessed. You can use such short time and to cover that. But I thank the Lord that here you have all these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You have these 7. What are these 7? These 7 are referring to what? Huh? 7 churches. And also what? And 7 epistles, right? So in other words, that our God, you know, when he say anything, he always speak in a very concise way. And when he wants to reveal to us what would be the church history in the past 2,000 years, he used the most efficient way try to tell us. And in other words, he chose 7 local churches at that time. And all those local churches had different conditions. And yet, every local church, their different conditions illustrate to us what will happen in those years. That was the Apostle John wrote this book, Revelation, and that was towards the end of the first century. And so at the first century, when Apostle John wrote these epistles or wrote the book of Revelation, all those were just prophesying, just tell us what will happen. But today, when we look back, what Apostle John prophesied at the end of the first century all became church history. So as we are concerned, most of these things actually all happen. But our burden is not just to see what will happen. What will happen already happened. But the thing is, we need to learn many spiritual lessons out of these past histories. So I know yesterday because your outline is very, very, very rich, and it's very difficult to cover more than 1 epistle, 1 night. I don't say that try to cover 2 epistles 1 night. That is already, I would say it's like a miracle. But so thank the Lord that Brother Bill Lawson did it, right? So, okay. But then the brothers asked me, maybe concerning Thyatira, I should add a little more. Okay, now, again, come back to this diagram. Okay, now, what is Ephesus, the first church, the first local church? What did that show us? He said, remember? Huh? How about someone where the brothers or sisters stand up, speak loudly, speak clearly so we can all hear you? Okay? So, you want to stand up? Okay, thank you. Okay. That refers to the condition of the church in the first century. And on one hand, they were very diligent, and also they had some spiritual discernment. So that means they had some spiritual growth. But one thing very serious happened. What was this one thing? Right. I'm glad that you... It is not like to test people. No, I'm not a person who wants to test people, but I just want to know how much you have said. So, but anyway, we have to see. The first lesson we have to learn is what? The first lesson we all have to learn is that if we lose our first love, that is the root of all the problems. Okay? Don't think, oh, I did not commit sin, I did not do this, I did not do that. I'm not bad. As long as you lost one thing, you lost the first love. You lost the first love towards our Lord. Then you're already in a very dangerous condition. So eventually, the church in Ephesus, the whole testimony was removed. If today you go to Ephesus, now it's completely just a ruin. And so don't say there's no church. Not even no people live there. Only those tourists went there. And that place was completely, it's a ruin. So that is the first one. The second one is what? Smyrna, right? So Smyrna means what? Right, persecution. And so you know in the year... 64 A.D., that July, that time the Roman Empire's king, Caesar, was Nero. And he did something very strange, that he burned down the Roman city, the whole city he burned down. And therefore, everybody would blame him. Even though he was Caesar, still too much... pressure on him. So eventually, he used Christians as the scapegoat. He said, I didn't do that. Christians did this. So that was how the Roman Empire started to kill Christians. And the Roman Empire killed Christians about 250 years, from the year 64 until the year 313. So this was the second. On the surface, now these days very often you hear us to say this: the divine history in the human history. On the outwardly speaking, on the surface, it seems the human history was that King Nero burned down the Roman city, and then he wanted to use the Christians as the scapegoat, so then they started to kill Christians. That is human history. What is the divine history? Actually, it is Satan tried to kill all the Christians because Satan knew what the Lord Jesus wanted to do. And I think this verse probably is not in your outline, but I want you to write it down. That is in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Okay. What is Matthew chapter 16, verse 16? That is the time when Jesus asked his disciples, what do people say that I am? And someone said this, and someone said that. But then the Lord Jesus asked his disciples, what do you say that I am? And so Peter gave the right answer. What did he say? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Once the Lord Jesus, once Peter said this, that means someone on this earth realized this person, Jesus, was not an ordinary person. He was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Once the Christ has been revealed, has been realized, then in verse 18, he said, upon this rock. Now, what is this rock? This rock is not Peter. Peter is just only a stone. This rock refers to this revealed Christ. Once the people on this earth started to realize this man, Jesus, he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. When he was realized, then upon this rock, upon this manifested Christ, then I will build my church. I will build my church. The most five important words. Let's say this together. I will build my church. So this verse is so important that shows us Jesus had no other burden. He does not do any other work. His work is what? His work is to build up his church. So this is the burden of the Lord Jesus, and this is what he's doing. And so don't think he's doing many of this, many that. No, this is the thing he wants to do. Even though we don't know, Satan knows this very well. Therefore, Satan is afraid that the church, when they will be built up, once the church is built up, Satan knew his time would be finished. Because God wants to use the church, this corporate man, on one hand, positively, to be God's expression. That's why man was created according to God's image. And then also, he wants this build-up church, the corporate man, to be his representation, to represent God, to deal with God's enemy, Satan. So I hope that, I believe most of you to know this. So we don't know, or many Christians are not clear about this, but Satan was very clear about this. So he tried to use Roman Empire to kill all the Christians. He thought when all the Christians were killed, then there will be no church, then he could sleep peacefully. No such thing. The more Roman Empire killed the Christians, the more people believing the Lord. And eventually, based on the historical documents, many mayors or generals sent this letter to Caesar. We cannot continue to kill the Christians, because the more we kill the Christians, the more people believing in Jesus, and then eventually our city will have no person left. So that was the situation. So then Satan started to realize his scheme by killing did not work. So that's why then you have Pergamos. And I believe our brother did mention to you what happened, right? And so, but then different ones had different stories, but that's okay. But end result was that King Constantine, and that he said he believed in Jesus, and because he became a Christian, therefore that he, of course, stopped killing the Christians. On one hand, this is a good thing. The Christians are no longer being killed. But on the other hand, he went to another extreme. That was that he made Christianity the state religion of Roman Empire. Don't think this is a good thing. I know our brother made this clear to you about the big tree. You remember the big tree? And don't think a big tree is a good thing. The church is a small one, so mustard seed. Why small mustard seed so precious? Because that can grow out vegetable, produce food for people. And that is the function of the church. It's not to be a big tree. But so I think all this, you are clear. But eventually, so what? It becomes this, Pergamos. Well, so this means what? Married. the church married, mingled with the world. And not only that, because King Constantine at that time, he said, if anyone believe in Jesus, he will give them so much money and also two clothes. So many went to, not because they really believe in Jesus, but because that they want to get the money and then get the clothes and also become the Caesar's brother, you know, wonderful. So then they join. But then, this is a bad, bad thing. I don't know whether Brother Bill Lawson mentioned this to you, that before they became Christian, they all believe in what? What? They believe in sun god. You know, these Roman people, they all worship the sun god. And they brought those things from the pagan things into Christianity. So tonight, I don't want to repeat what Brother Bill Lawson said, because you have already heard that side of the story. But today, you know Christmas, right? Today in the United States, I think probably more than 90% of Christian groups celebrate Christmas. And do you know what is Christmas? Christmas is not Jesus' birthday. Jesus was not born in winter time, because in the book of Luke tells us clearly that at the time when Jesus was born that evening, and the angels appeared to those shepherds in the wilderness. And I was in Israel a number of times, and in winter time, it's very cold, also had snow. No shepherd will ever bring their sheep into the wilderness in winter time. So we know that Jesus was not born in winter time. But then, what is December 25th? That was the birthday of the sun god. You realize that? You know, every year, we are living on the northern hemisphere. Therefore, always in summertime, the daytime is longer. And in wintertime, and then the daytime is shorter. And usually, December 23 is the shortest daytime for the whole year. Then, after that, the daytime started to become longer. Therefore, those ones who worship their sun god, they use December 25th to, that is their sun god's birthday. It's not us. It's not the Lord's birthday. Then I heard many students here are quite new. That's why I want to make this clear to you. And then today, why everybody celebrate this? It is all the merchants, the businessmen. They want to make money. They want to collect your money, let your money in their pocket. Therefore, they want to make the Christmas such a big thing. They you have to go buy Christmas gifts. You have to buy the trees. You have to decorate this and decorate that. Eventually, all the money went into their pocket. I'm not joking. When I first came to the United States, I arrived here on springtime, and when I went into some drugstores, I saw so many rabbits, and the chocolate rabbits, and the tour rabbits. I said, wow, how come American people love rabbits? Then they said, don't you know today is what? Easter, celebrating the Lord's resurrection. I said, the Lord's resurrection? How the Lord's resurrection have anything to do with rabbits? Again, you fall into that trap of those businessmen. They want to, they don't care when the Lord was resurrected. They only care of all the money in your pocket. They want the money in your pocket going to their pocket. I really feel so sorry that so many people are deceived by these things. Now, I hope that we just see how Satan tried to use so many things try to deceive us. And just remember one thing. If the Lord wants us to remember him, to celebrate his birthday, the Bible will tell us what day he was born. Since the Bible never tells us what day Jesus was born, that means he does not want us to celebrate his birthday. In other words, he does not want, like in the United States, you have Father's Day, Mother's Day, and so maybe these children, the whole year, they don't pay any attention to their father or to their mother. Just once a year, you invite them to go to the dinner once to appease their conscience. That at least I invite them to. Again, this is that the businessmen want to make money. But our Lord does not want this kind of remembering. He does not want you to remember him once a year, like you remember your Father's Day or Mother's Day. No. The Lord wants what? Every week, the first day of the week, that is the Lord's Day, every week we need to come to remember him. Therefore, all the brothers, and I hope that and sisters, and whether you are new, whether you are old, doesn't matter. Never, never miss Lord's Day mornings, the Lord's Day. The Lord wants us to remember him every week, not just once a year. So the first day of the week, we should come together. And so then this is also very good for your spiritual life and also for our spiritual life. We all need to come to enjoy the Lord, remember the Lord, and receive the supply. Then, based on this supply, then we live our 1 week's life. So I hope I just mentioned these things. Now, so this is Pergamos, then Thyatira. Thyatira really typifies the Catholic Church. And this, actually, I don't know. I don't know who wrote this. Diagram. If I should write this, it's not going up, it's going down. So, do you think that this is the right way to draw this? In the first year of Ephesus, then they lost their first love. Then, Smyrna, they're being persecuted. So, then, as long as they are being persecuted, so they did not go up, but they also will not go down. But once it becomes Pergamos, oh, it's a big drop down here. And then when it comes to Thyatira, it's another big drop. Based on Brother Lee's word, Thyatira is already dropped to the bottom. You cannot be any lower. And you cannot be any more terrible. And all the problems you could have, this Thyatira has. And so this, in other words, this is already dropped to the bottom, cannot be any lower. And this is where we will pick up from tonight's meeting. So first of all, Thyatira, that why we say this? Because even the most basic gospel truth, they lost. And at that time, because they want money, they wanted to build this big St. Peter's Basilica, and that needs a lot of money. So what do? Or they just say, oh, for you to believe Jesus you cannot see, oh, that is really difficult. But don't worry. Don't try to believe a Jesus you cannot see. And at that time, they printed this kind of ticket of indulgence. So you just buy our ticket of indulgence and your sins will be forgiven. Not only your sins will be forgiven, you even can buy this partaken of indulgence for your dead relatives, and so that they will not be suffered in the lake of fire. All these are what? Big lies. But then the problem is what? Oh, so many people, just because of this kind of heresy, this kind of wrong teaching, and they went to hell. So, in other words, even the most basic, the gospel truth had been lost. And because these Catholic popes and high-level bishops, they knew what they said was wrong. Therefore, they forbid people to read the Bible. So then, even that time, even just as late as 150 years ago, the Catholic Church, the Latin America, if you go to Peru, and so, you know, Peru's capital was Lima. And in Lima, even I visited there 20, 30 years ago, there's a museum. Even as late as 150 years ago, they were still practicing this. Why? Practicing this, they have a special name for the religious court. So in other words, if you find anyone still reading the Bible, and that they will catch these people, they will torture these people, and ask them to tell you who else still owns the Bible, they still read the Bible. Then they all get them and kill them. And today it's no longer this religious court. Now today it's a museum. If you go to the basement, it's terrible. The picture that they had and the statue that they had, even some unbelievers said only devil mingle with human being could have this kind of terrible torturing. So it's really terrible. And actually, the Catholic Church, Roman Catholic Church, killed more Christians than Roman Empire, because the Roman Empire only killed Christians 250 years, and the Roman Catholic Church killed the Christians for more than 1,000 years. So this is the condition. And therefore, there are two big things. One is that they lost the most basic gospel truth. The second, they don't allow people read the Bible. So these are the two very terrible things happen. Even in the worldly historians call this 1,000 years the Dark Age. And so this is the situation, already falling in the bottom. Now, when it's falling in the bottom, do you think God will let it go? No. God will do what? Will start to react. Now, what is to react? This is what you have here, the church in Sardis. Okay? So the church in Sardis, so in other words, when the whole situation falls into the bottom, and then the Lord will use someone to try to recover this. By the way, I believe for most of you, when you come to the meeting here, very soon you will hear this word recovery. Now, sometimes they say, we are the Lord's recovery. And then, what is the meaning of recovery? What is recovery? Huh? Yeah. Okay, good. I thank the Lord no one say, oh, that's our name. then that's terrible. Remember this, recovery is not our name. The church has no name. Okay? And recovery, the meaning of this word is you have something you lost, you want to get it back. That is recovery, right? Maybe in the past you have very good health, but then maybe you are careless or you eat something you should not eat, and so you got sick, you got vomiting, and so you lost your health. Then you need to go to see some doctors and take some medicine, try to gain your health back. That means what? That means you want to recover your health back. So you have something, you lost it, you want to get it back, that is recovery. Or another example, maybe a father and a son have very intimate, good relationship. But we don't know what happened. Then maybe because the generation gap, and so the son has some misunderstanding about the father. They lost their good, intimate, good relationship. Then the father did not want to stay in that kind of situation. He wants to gain that good relationship back. That means what? That means he wants to recover the good relationship. Now, what is God's recovery? Now, in the Bible, there are many truths, many revelations, and many spiritual principles. It's all in this book. But these, because of Satan's attack, because the church became degraded and fallen into bottom. And so the recovery is to cover all those visions, cover all those truths, all those revelations, and all those principles. And God wants to recover them back. So this is recovery, okay? So I hope that this point is clear. So then, now we, most of us know the one in the past 500 years, the first one the Lord used to recover is Martin Luther. But actually, before Martin Luther, already a number of people like John Huss and so forth, they already saw the mistake of the Catholic Church. And they already want to do some work recovery, but they were not strong. And the first strong one is Martin Luther. Why? Because he himself is a Catholic priest. He could read the Bible. So in other words, during those years, they forbid other people to read the Bible. Only the Catholic priests or nuns, they could read the Bible. So then, Martin Luther could read the Bible. Now, yesterday I know Brother Bill also mentioned to you about King Constantine a lot. But I don't think he mentioned King Constantine's mother to you. Do you know King Constantine? He has a mother. He had a mother. And his mother's name was Helena. And Helena also said she believed in the Jesus, but most people don't believe that she really believed in Jesus, because the second year after King Constantine became a Christian, this Helena brought a large group of Roman soldiers, went to Jerusalem. They killed so many Jews. And then not only that, she did a lot of very superstitious things. I went to Jerusalem a number of times. There was one place they built a cathedral. And this Helena, I don't know from where did she get this inspiration. She said, oh, this is the place. Mary was nursing Jesus, and a few drops of milk fell on the ground. Oh, then we should build a huge cathedral there. Then she said, oh, if there's any woman could not conceive, could not have a baby, just come to this place to pray, and definitely you will have a baby. So even today, that cathedral is still there. But anyway, so my point was, this Helena created many, many this kind of superstitious thing. One of it was, there was a stage, 24 stone ladder up. They said that was the ladder after Jesus was sentenced to death, and Jesus carried his cross, and he used his knees climb up these 28 stairs, the stone stairs to go up. Therefore, if you want your sins to be forgiven, you need to use your knees climb up that stair. And actually, not only I went to that place, and also he also went, right? Yeah. But my point was, both we both went to the same place, and not the same time, but we did the same thing. That is, we all carry camera there. Even today, they were still using their knees to climb up those stairways. And so one day, when Martin Luther was climbing up on his knees on this stairs, then the Lord's word came to him. The jet shall be what? The jet shall be saved by faith. The jest. The jest shall be saved by faith. By believing in the Lord Jesus. Not by climbing up with your knees. No use. But even today, people still climbing up on those stones. So just that time, of course, none of us were there when Martin Luther heard this Lord speaking, and that the legend said he just stood up, walked away. So from that time on, he realized that this is terrible. What the teaching is really terrible thing. And not only that, then also Martin Luther realized that we should let all people to read the Bible. The Bible should be an open book. And then, again, the divine history is in the human history. The human history was that it was during, at that time, Gutenberg invented this the technique of printing. And in China, earlier they learned this kind of technique, but in Western world, it was at that time, the same time that the Gutenberg, you know, he invented this technique. The first book he printed was the Bible. And then he started to print the Bible. And in the first batch was 500 Bibles. But at that time, the Catholic Church did not care. It's because they were very rich. They have a lot of money. And so then they just used the money to purchase these 500 copy of Bible. And the Lord gave Gutenberg wisdom, and he charged Roman Catholic Church a lot of money. And so then, even though these Catholic people that they purchased these 500 copies, but then this Gutenberg got a lot of money. He used that money, printed many, many, many hundreds of copies of Bibles. Then when the Catholic Church realized they made a mistake, it's too late. Already too many Bibles already spreading in all the Europe. So this is what Martin Luther did. This is great thing. One is make the Bible open book. Everybody can read. Another is to recover the justification by faith. This most basic gospel truth. This is what Martin Luther had recovered. Now, but a big but. Unfortunately, Martin Luther only recovered these two things, and the other things he didn't. Now, I don't think we should criticize him because he was under tremendous danger. You know, after he did all these things, the Catholic Church tried to do her best to kill Martin Luther. Therefore, Martin Luther, eventually, this Lutheran church became the state church of Germany. So then, that means he went back to the same principle. The Catholic Church is a church that controlled the whole world. And then, Martin Luther's this Lutheran church became the state church of of Germany. And so this is the thing that became this state church is the beginning of what? It's the beginning of Sardis. And this is the lesson we have today. The topic is the cause of the church in Sardis. Now, the church in Sardis, let's read Roman numeral 1 together. As a sign, the church in Sardis previous church from time of Reformation in the beginning of the 16th century to second coming of Christ. Now, so this is this the church in Sardis represent what? Represent the Protestant church. And then this is the Reformation in the beginning of the 16th century. Actually, that 16th century actually is the years 1517. So in other words, 5 years from now, it would be 500 years anniversary. And so that's a really a big thing. But here, if you read the outline, then you realize that, and also if you read the Bible, you could see that the Lord has a lot of words unhappy about this Sardis. Maybe we can turn to the book of Revelation. Let's read chapter 3 and verse 1. Let's read with our strong spirit. And to the messenger of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are living, and yet you are dead. Then verse 2. Become watchful and establish the things which were about to die. For I have done your works before my God. And verse 3. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, and keep it, and repent. If therefore you would not watch, I will come as a thief, and you shall by no means know at what hour I will come upon you. So this was what the Lord said to the church in Sardis. And here is specifically at the beginning. You know, in each epistle, the Lord will describe himself in certain way. And that the way that he described himself is always meet the need of that particular church. And so here it says that to the church in Sardis, right? These things said, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. In other words, the Lord reminded the church in Sardis. And church in Sardis represent the Protestant churches. And then what they need is the seven spirits. Why seven spirits? It's because they on the service that living, but actually they did not have the real life, but it's dead. Don't criticize other people. I want to apply the same principle that Brother Bill Lawson did yesterday, that we apply to ourselves. We have to what? By the sevenfold intensified spirit. By the seven spirit, we need to be living in our spirit. And otherwise, we can never fulfill God's purpose. We can never satisfy the Lord. And not only that, and also it says seven stars. Seven stars means in the church, you need to have people like stars. Stars, you know, is the light from the heaven. And so we should all be the stars in the heaven. In this dark age, we should be the ones that really enjoy the Lord and really touch God, and God is light. And so in this light, we shall see light. And so this is the thing that the Lord spoke to Sardis. And the Lord still said, become watchful and establish the things which remain. Okay, now, because of time, I just mentioned this. After Martin Luther, the Lord has raised up many other his servants, and both brothers and also sisters. And then they have recovered many other things. And in the beginning, after Martin Luther formed this Lutheran church and became the state church of Germany, then many other groups or so-called churches also attached themselves in with some of the government. And then some governments, they hated Roman Catholic Church. They had their motives and tried to be connected with these groups. So in other words, this recovery at that time, even though God used Martin Luther to accomplish something, but still it's not pure. They have a lot of mixtures there. And so not only Martin Luther recovered those two important things, there are many other Christian groups. They also start to recover other things. For instance, then someone realized from the Bible that the baptism really should, by immersion, because it's the testimony that our old man has been crucified with God, and so our old man is buried, right? And no one should bury another corpse with a few drop of dirt on your forehead. No, always you have to put the whole body into the tomb. And so then they saw this, and they started this kind of practice of baptizing people by immersion. Then spontaneously, they call themselves what? They call themselves Baptist Church. And then another group, they saw, again, they're all from the Bible. They saw in the Bible, there's no bishop to control the churches. But it's a group of elders to oversee the churches. Then they formed another group, the Presbyterian. And so every time when they discover some truth, they on one hand, they recover something, but yet at the same time, they form another organization. And so this is a frustration to the Lord's economy. So this is the big problem. And I don't know whether you have here some people from China, or you don't have any Christianity background. The reason I want to say this is because in the past number of years, we contacted a number of students from China, because in China, it's atheist. They did not have any background concerning Christianity. So they thought in the beginning, some of them thought this word denomination was created by us to mock these other Christians. No. This word denomination is not created by us. It's created by themselves. They themselves to call themselves the denomination. For instance, like John Wesley. And so the Lord also used him to recover. Now, before that time, they don't allow people to speak the truth or to preach the gospel on the street or in the marketplace. They could only let people could only enter into, you know, many so-called churches. They had their rooms. There was one room they considered most holy. So only in that holy place you can preach the gospel and you can preach the truth. Oh, because the word is the holy word, right? And if you preach the holy word in the market, you drop that, you pour that holy word to such a low level. But then John Wesley said, then if you only preach gospel in your holy room, but all the sinners won't come to your holy room. So how could they be saved? So then he started to say, we should be able to preach gospel everywhere. And so then they started to preach everywhere, and not only on the street and also in the market. They call themselves the, I don't know the English name. The Chinese name is clearly mentioned, the Methodist. But then in Chinese translation, they use the word denomination. So they say, this is a Wesley denomination. They call themselves a denomination. Yeah. So it's not that we call them denomination. So, but the, why the, this is why they have to use this word. That has some meaning. That you know, denomination, I'm glad you are all college students, so it's easy to say to share this with you, but please forgive me. I know you are all college students. Let me just talk to you a little about the elementary school mathematics. Okay, you know the in mathematics we have two kind of numbers, right? Now you have 1, 2, 3. These are the regular numbers, right? And so if you want to add these numbers together, it's very easy. 1 + 2 = 3 + 3 = 6, right? Then you have another kind of number. That is fraction number. So you have, let's say, the 3 over 5. So this is not the regular number, right? So what is this number? Fractional, right? And this is what? Numerator. This is denominator, right? And so then you have, so then you have, let's say 3 over 5, then let's say 4 over 7. Can you add these two numbers together? You cannot, right? It's not like 1 + 2 = 3. So in how can you add these two numbers together? You have to make the common denominator, right? So you have to make this common denominator, right? Then you have what? 41 over 35, right? So in other words, you have to make it common denominators for you to be blend together. To add together means to blend together, right? So don't think this is a small thing. You see that all these, in order to make this common denominators, you create the division in Christianity or in concerning the body of Christ. And so what is this? Okay, this is, let's say, this is baptism by immersion. This is their common denominators. If you want to come to our Christian meetings, you have to practice baptism by immersion. Some places, even, you have to use their water to baptize you. Or some places, you have to put into the water 3 times. One's in the Father, in the Son, in the Spirit. And the other one said, it's not the, from top to the bottom and come down, but you should go backwards. I said, oh, no, you should go forwards. So I'm not making light of this. Every group have their denominators. If you don't mingle with them, then you cannot go on together. So these are very terrible things. Don't think to have a denomination is a small thing. That in others, you use the common denominators, and these common denominators will divide the body of Christ. So this is something that we have to see. But we'll come back to this later. But anyway, the thing is concerning Sardis. This Sardis, in the beginning, you could see that they just compromise this and that. And the law said that they always start some work, never finish. And not only that, the Lord said this, that none of their work is completed. But why none of the work cannot complete it? In the past, I thought, oh, maybe they don't have enough persistence and this and that. No, eventually I discovered none of their work will be perfected. It's because none of them know God's eternal purpose, God's eternal economy. And they don't care to know. And if when we want to talk about God's eternal economy, they said, because they have never heard about that. Then they said, oh, what kind of nonsense you're talking about? We have never heard this before. And they don't want to hear this. And because they don't care for God's eternal economy, they don't care for God's eternal purpose, they don't care that the God and man will become one, and they don't care for these things. They just want to be a quote-unquote good Christians. Or they just know, oh, now I know, I believe in the Lord, and I will not go to hell, and once I'm saved forever. Then they're satisfied with this. That's why they were never, in God's eyes, their work was never complete. And then this, not only the Lord said this, there's another thing, it's very, I feel it's very, at that time, 1900 years ago, that was a prophecy. But then here you can see that it also talks about that not only you are living, but yet you are dead. And so then says, become watchful and establish the things which remain, which were about to die. Now, I want, okay, let's all read this verse 2 with our spirit. Become watchful and establish the things which remain, which were about to die. For I have found none of your works complete before my God. Now, this word that I found none of your works completed before my God. Why? It's because they don't know God's eternal economy. They don't know God's eternal purpose. Now, how can we do a complete work? It is not to do many other works. We have to put ourselves into this work. To do the only one work, that is to do the Lord's work. Amen. And the Lord's burden is, upon this rock I will build my church. So this is our work. We don't do any other work. So we have to see. None of us should think, oh, I have know everything. Or I can recite Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 many, many times. But we have to see what the Lord wants us to do. And then we can do the complete work. If we are not clear what the Lord wants us to do, we can never do the complete work. And then, so far as these saints in Sardis, still they are people in Sardis. They have, the Lord asked them to, in verse 4 it says, but you have a few names in Sardis who have not defiled their garments, and that they will walk with me in white because they are worthy. So in denominations, they also have many really love the Lord and they really have the burden to preach the gospel. So we should not have any feeling that, oh, they are in denomination, so they look down upon them. Oh, no, we should not have that kind of attitude. They are some good Christians there. But these good Christians just scattered Christians and not really going on in the church, then they themselves may be wearing the white garment, but so far as God's economy is concerned, that still cannot build up the body of Christ. And so, you know, this time we just had the summer training, and the last message is on the new revival. And that, I would say that last message is the conclusion of the whole summer training. And that, in other words, this summer training concluded with this message number 12. That is the new revival. But why Brother Lee called this new revival? Not because time-wise it is the last revival, but the reason he called new revival is this revival, the revival we want to have now, the new revival, is altogether different from all the other revivals. And so the last famous revival was about 100 years ago in Wales, Wales Revival. That is from the year 1904 to 1905. Many people got saved, and many miners, they, after they dig the mines and they came out, their faces were all dusty. And when they went to the meetings, when they came out, everybody's face had two white lines because they were touched by the word, and the tear came down and washed the dust away. But anyway, because they were touched by the Lord, so all the bars, all the theaters were closed. So that was a good revival. That was the Lord's blessing. Many people got saved, and many people were gained by the Lord. That was good. We're not saying that's not good. But one thing you cannot deny, that is that good revival did not bring the Lord back. Right? You cannot argue me about this. So that's the new revival. You have these three factors. One is what? We have to know the high peak truth. And the second, we have to live the God-man living. The third, we need to shepherd each other. Now, this is the new revival. This new revival can bring the Lord back. And this is today's, the Lord's, what the Lord wants to do today. Okay, it's today's the Lord's burden, and what he wants to recover is this. You can have many more, the kind of old kind of revival. That kind of old revival will not bring the Lord come back. But it is this new revival that can really recover what the Lord wants to be after. So I hope that all of us, especially I hope all you students, college students, really rise up, that we have such an important mission. On one hand, it is the Lord's mercy that reveal all these truths to us. But at the same time, that the more we heard, the more we learn, the more we have this responsibility to cooperate with the Lord, and also to go out preach the gospel, not just to bring them, save them out of the lake of fire, but bring them, save them into God's eternal purpose, into God's eternal economy. So I hope that all of you will see this point. And so this is the thing that I want to mention. But one thing, especially this time when I was preparing this, in the past I did not notice this. In verse 2, it says, become watchful and establish the things which remain, which were about to die, which were about to die. And then, for I have found none. Okay, why this verse touched me very much? Here, 1900 years ago, the law already said this, that if you don't repent to be an overcomer. Now, overcome here is not only to cover our sins and the world. Overcomer here is to overcome all the abnormal condition of the churches. And so, whether it's Sardis or Thyatira, that all those kind of things we need to overcome. But and also that here it says, which were about to die. If the Sardis, they continue in this condition, then even what they had will be lost. As the Lord said, if you have, the more you have, the more will add it to you. If you don't have, then even what you have will be disappeared. And the reason I want to mention this, I remember in 1999, that was the year we will enter into a new century. And then I read on the newspaper, so towards the end of that year, 1999, and these three groups, that is the Catholic representative and the Episcopalian. Episcopalian actually was, you know, Henry the Eighth. He, because he wanted to marry his sister-in-law, and the Pope did not allow him to do this. So then he forget about the Roman Catholic Church, so he started his own church. He called that Anglican, right? Anglican is the state religion of England. But even though it's in England, they still to other places. When the Anglican Church moved to or migrated or expanded to United States, then it's called Episcopalian. And they also migrated to the Philippines and to China. They of course they have the Chinese name there, but then the thing is that when they moved to the United States, then it's Episcopalian, then Lutheran Church. These three groups came together, had a conference, and then in that conference they made agreement that they could into their serving ones or their so-called fathers or priests, and they could use each other's I don't want to use the priests, but anyway, they're serving ones, okay? They could use the serving ones interchangeably. Now, that is because they are also low in money, and it's just try to save money. So like in the small towns, and they don't need to have three pastors or one Catholic priest, another Episcopalian, whatever they call them, and then another pastor from Lutheran Church. And to them, it's not economical to use three serving ones in one small town. So then they said, we could use each other's pastor interchangeably. And so they make this agreement. But in that agreement, the Lutheran representative, he did not say a word about the justification by faith. So that really led me to think, wow, the Lord's word here, it was fulfilled 1900 years later. Even what they originally had, they left, they lost. So that's why we need to learn all this. We need to learn these lessons. And so then maybe just quickly read the outline. Let's read ABC. Sardis means that remains, makes the the revelation or God's reaction. Catholic Church, John Church in Islam. During the Reformation, two kinds of forces were at work. One was a God. God, through the Holy Spirit, moved in a prevailing way to produce many faithful servants
who sacrificed their lives to the Lord and to the word of their
testimony. The most important and the most precious item of Reformation is that Martin Luther opened the Bible to the public. The second great item covered during the Reformation was justification by faith. While Luther was struggling for the Reformation, many political powers okay, let the brothers read the Roman numeral 2. The Lord speaks as the one who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars to reveal the things. And the sisters read A. And then we all read 1, 2, 3. The church through Martin Luther experienced a surge among we, but everything soon became dead. To have anything that is right, sound, but dead is to fall into the five commandments means secretly to stand. So that sin. It's penalty. There is no of sin, but there is an anointing, a killing of death, the function of the members of Christ's body. Okay, small ABC. Today's practice is so. Nurturing the new ones, perfecting the saints, and in prophesying to build up the body of Christ. Amen. Okay. So then, when we come to this section about the Sardis, one important thing we have to be very clear, that is, in God's eyes, death is more serious than sin. Usually the Christians, they always think, oh, we Christians should not commit sins. Right, we should not commit sins. But we have to see, in God's eyes, if we are dead, that's even worse than commit sins. And so this is something that we have to be very clear. Most Christians don't realize this, but in the Bible, it tells us very clearly, not only in the New Testament, even start from the Old Testament, like the vow of Nazarite, they already see that God hated death. And to God, the death is worse, much worse than sin. And so today, when we come to this, when we talk about in Sardis, the Lord's call and the promise is made to those who overcome the deadness and the Protestant churches. So, again, we don't need to criticize anyone else. We don't want to criticize other people. We need to read this all to ourselves. And so, that's why we need to function. Everyone needs to function. Because if you don't function, if I don't function, then we'll become dead. You know, I often say this in New York, but I don't remember what I said here. Probably not. Here, when the Lord warned the church in Sardis, he mentioned his second coming. Did you notice this? Right? He said, the Lord said, I will come as a thief. Why the Lord will come as a thief? Then the thief, you know that the thief is, means that the, no one will know. So when no thief will give you call you, hey, I'm coming tonight, so get ready. No thief will do that. And the Lord also will come as a thief. And why? Because he did not want us to know. And he wants us to be ready all the time. Therefore, the Lord Jesus said clearly in the Bible, no one knows what time he will come back. He did not say what year, but he always said what season, what time, what hour. No one knows. If there are people to say, I know what day, when, don't believe that. Whoever said he knows when the Lord will come back, by the way, you know he was talking nonsense. That the Lord said we cannot know. How can you say you know? So this is something we all have to be very, very careful. The Lord does not want to let us know what day he will come. But that is for us to be ready all the time. One thing we know, when the Lord comes back, he will come with many different status. And the one is, he will come as the one, our master. And so I said often to the saints, especially to the young people, that the Lord comes back, he will set up the judgment seat of Christ. And all of us will face him at the judgment seat of Christ. And this, to me, is like our Christians living on this earth, the final exam of our Christian life on this earth. But this final exam is the open book exam. It's not a closed book exam, because the Lord wants all of us pass this exam. He did not want us to fail this exam. And therefore, he tells us how will he judge us. That is in Matthew chapter 25, right? Two aspects. One is life side, that we need to be filled with the Spirit. And some Christian preacher said, those five foolish virgins, they were not real Christians. Oh, no, they were all Christians, because inside them, they all have the oil. And the Bible tells us clearly, our human spirit is the lamp of Jehovah. And in their lamp, they had the oil there. It was burning. But the problem is, they did not continuously let this spirit fill in their vessel. In other words, fill in our soul. In other words, let Christ make his home in our heart. Our heart includes mind, emotion, and the will, and also the conscience in our spirit. So all this is very clear. This is on life side. But you also have another side. It's on the serving side. And you all know that one got the 5 talent, another get 2 talent, another get 1 talent. And those 5 talent and 2 talent, they all use the talent the Lord gave them and to labor and to do some work, just like what you did this afternoon. Wonderful. You need to continuously do this. How many people get saved? Well, at least one will get saved. That is yourself. The more you go out to preach the gospel, the more you yourself will be saved. And only this one who are only 1 talent, this one, he did not do anything. And then he only had 1 talent. Then in the past, when I only read the Chinese version, the Chinese Bible, I couldn't understand what that verse was saying. This one talent once, when the master came back, and he said to the master, "Oh, you are a cruel person." I said, "How dare you to say that the master is a cruel person?" Then later I read the English Bible. Then I realized that word is not cruel. That word is hard. In others, our Lord is a hard person. That means he's a strict person. That means that, yes, he requires us to do things really according to his level, according to his standard. And that then the Lord said, what to this one talented one? He said, "You, what? You evil and slothful servant," right? He said. And that one, it seems that he did not realize when his master came back, his master is going to come to deal with him. He even, first you could see it at the beginning, he was even very proud. "Look, your one talent is still here. I did not lose it." And so then I believe this foolish servant, I believe he's a Chinese. But the reason I believe he's a Chinese, he has the Chinese culture. And the Chinese culture is the more you do, the more mistake you make. The less you do, the less mistake you make. If you don't do anything, you will not make any mistake. That was the Chinese philosophy. Definitely, that was that one talented person, that was his philosophy. He said, look, I did not make any mistake. I did not lose any of your talent. It's all here." But then the Lord did not take that. But then when you go down to verse 30, earlier the Lord rebuked this one, "You evil and slothful servant." But so in verse 30, the Lord just repeat that, right? "You evil, slothful servant." But in verse 30, that was not what the Lord said. What the Lord said was what? To throw this useless servant into the outer darkness. Here you see our Lord still loves us. He loves us to the end. And in the last chapter of the whole Bible, Revelation chapter 22, it shows us in the eternity future, we will all serve the Lord unto eternity. And the watchman Nee told us, today we need to serve. Our service today is just to train us, ask us to learn how to serve in the eternity future. So our philosophy should be, the more you do, the more you learn. The less you do, the less you learn. If you don't do anything, you will not learn anything. And our Lord, he wants all of us to pass this test. He wants all of us to be the useful servant. So before you, I read these verses in Matthew chapter 25, then very often after I get the person saved, and just like what Paul said, I consecrate this newly saved one to the Lord as my New Testament offering. I become very happy. But we cannot happy that quickly. We should what? We should bring them into the church life. And don't think that they come every Lord's Day morning just to have a Sunday morning ceremony. No. You have to see that if they don't serve, then they can never learn how to serve today. Then in the future, when the Lord comes back, he will end up in the outer darkness. Then if all our spiritual children went to outer darkness, I don't think I alone want to go to the left, go to the wedding feast when the Lord said, what are the ones you how many did you save? Oh, I get 100 people saved. Actually, when I went to Russia in 1993, Brother Lee asked me to go there for the summer, and just 2 weeks, that time, so easy to get those Russian people saved. So in 2 weeks, I got 158 baptized. And so if the Lord asked me, how many did you bring to the Lord? Oh, I said, 158. Where are they? Wow, they are all outside in the outer darkness, gnashing their teeth. So do you think I can, if all our spiritual children is not being bring to the Lord, is not being trained, is not being serving, not learn how to serve, and then we I don't know what to say, but then we still it's not reached what the Lord wants us to do. So I just want to use this opportunity that to share this burden to you. When we talk about this history, we should learn these lessons, and may the Lord be merciful to us. And I think you still have maybe 40 minutes you can prophesy. The more you prophesy, the more you will learn how to prophesy.